Welcome to Artrageous, a weekly podcast about the truly outrageous stories in the art and design world. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me for another fun episode of Artrageous. I hope everyone is having a fantastic week so far, but if you are drowning in the depths of your to-do list like I am, then welcome to this episode where throwing away things like to-do lists and expensive art pieces are on the agenda. Unfortunately, I can't really get away with completely tossing out my to-do list because there are some really important things on there. So instead, I am strategically avoiding working on things I am completely unmotivated to work on by, well, working on other things. I never knew that productive procrastination was a thing, but here we are about to have a little fun trash talking, shall we say, in today's episode. If you've been with me on this show for a while, you may remember an episode I did a while back. It feels like it was forever ago, but it was about the broken Jeff Koons balloon dog, where a gallery visitor accidentally knocked it off of its pedestal and it shattered into a million pieces when it hit the ground. This was one of the more expensive art accidents that I've seen, since at the time I think that piece was valued at somewhere over $40,000. But the saving grace for this work was that the balloon dog was a part of a series, so it's not like it was a one-of-a-kind work that will be forever lamented over in the annals of history. And while that story was really fun, it made me wonder what kinds of other really expensive art accidents have happened over the years. So at the time, I wrote down a little note to myself, and I am finally getting back to it with this week's episode. Cue me looking into a list of expensive art accidents, and I noticed a theme popping up that was really intriguing. Apparently, there have been not just one or two times this stuff has happened, but there have been multiple times. We're talking like at least a dozen, where gallery janitors have mistakenly cleaned up and thrown away actual art pieces that were part of an installation or a sculpture. And some might think that this is really weird, because how could anyone mistake a painting as something that should be thrown away? Well, the caveat here is that a lot of the pieces in question were contemporary and modern art sculptures, and while there are some people who will tell you that most contemporary art is garbage anyway, there have been times when it has literally been mistaken for trash. A perfect example of this is one of the first instances I read about from back in October of 2015. The story goes that there was a gallery opening on a Friday night at the Museum for Modern Art and Contemporary Art in Bolzano, Italy. If you're looking at a map, it's maybe about 75-ish miles northwest of Venice. But this gallery had an opening for an installation called Where Are We Going to Dance Tonight?, which also very fittingly featured a disco ball and some fun colored lights. Well, as far as gallery openings go, I guess the after-hours cleaning crew thought that this opening was an especially rowdy and messy one, considering the amount of confetti and streamers and the insane number of champagne bottles on the floor. We are talking 300 bottles, complete with cigarette butts to boot. I'm not sure how big this gallery actually is, but to me, 300 bottles of champagne sounds like a lot for any event, aside from maybe a rager thrown by an OU frat house. Regardless, it was quite a mess, and I'm sure the janitors were not happy to discover that was what awaited them when they clocked in for the evening. As it turns out, all of the champagne bottles, the confetti, and the streamers were part of the artist installation. Now, if we're judging a work by how convincing it is, then this one gets an 11 out of 10 because it was so believable as an actual mess left over from a full-on party that the janitors diligently picked up everything, they swept up the floors, they probably even mopped a bit for good measure. They then threw this entire mess into the recycling bins out back, and then clocked out for the night and went home to snuggle up in bed after a job. And rightfully so, because kudos to them for recycling. But could you imagine being the gallery director and coming in the next morning expecting to see this magnificent work that was supposed to be a commentary on corruption of Italy's prosperous, party-hearted 1980s, yet instead they find nothing. I don't know if at first they thought they had the next big art heist on their hands or what went through their head, but yikes. According to the gallery director in an interview, she said that the cleaner was new and was asked to clean up the foyer where an event on Friday night had been. When the cleaner saw the bottles of champagne, she thought that must have been the right room. In this case, I truly think it was an honest mix-up, and I really can't blame the janitors in the slightest. After all, the installation was literally portraying a mess after a party, which is exactly what the janitor was asked to clean up and what janitors get paid to clean up. I'm really hoping that the cleaner was not fired after this little miscommunication, especially after I learned that they were newer to this job and probably just wanted to make sure that they did some good work. Heck, that place was cleaned so spotless and the trash was sorted so nicely with glass bottles in one bag and plastic in another that I probably would have given that person a raise. I'm not sure the gallery felt the same way, but that's just my two cents that you didn't even have to pay me a penny of my thoughts for. Luckily, the janitor must have been trained by Captain Planet and his merry band of planeteers, as this Vice article so perfectly puts it, because the gallery was able to recover the pieces from the trash, which I'm imagining was filled with week-old lasagna, and they were able to use photos to recreate the installation and open it back up to the public. And while I'm here giggling over this honestly quite hilarious mix-up, the artists were reportedly pretty miffed about the whole thing. One of them commented to the local newspaper that what happened was very bad and it should not be possible for an installation to end up in the rubbish bin. As an artist myself, I get it. It is so hard when someone views your work as trash, and don't even get me started on the self-hatred of my own work, but for their hard work to literally be swept into the trash bin, I don't know. I would argue that that may be one of the worst forms of critique I could imagine. Then again, the only other thing worse would be the story I heard about of an ex-professor at my art college who quite literally drop-kicked a student's entire project across the stage during a critique. And this was also the professor who handed out legitimate McDonald's applications to students who failed their sophomore review. I really wish I was making this stuff up, but no, according to alumni, this stuff actually happened. But as I digress into the plot of an episode of Tales of an Art Major, yeah, now that I think about it, it could totally be worse for those two Italian artists back in October 2015. And if anyone listening is wondering how an installation made of literal trash could be considered art, then you might be on a similar wavelength as this prominent Italian art critic who said that the janitor was right in her assertion that the installation belonged in the trash. The critic said, if she thought it was rubbish, it means it was. Art should be understood by everyone, including cleaners. The fact that the museum could simply pick the pieces from the trash bin and put them back together shows you that wasn't art in the first place. Ouch. Adding insult to injury. The good news is that these two artists are not the only ones in the trashed art club, and not by a long shot. Actually, it's almost as if history was repeating itself with the champagne bottle incident in October 2015, because a similar situation happened back in 2001 with a work by an artist named Damien Hirst, when his installation made up of coffee cups and beer bottles, overflowing ashtrays, and newspapers strewn across the floor was also cleaned up by a very thorough gallery janitor at London's iStorm Gallery. In all fairness to this cleaner as well, this so-called installation, or quote-unquote artwork, was quite literally made up of arranged garbage. Hirst had arrived at iStorm Gallery on a Tuesday night before the launch party of his newest exhibition called Painting by Numbers. As most artists do, he had to give some direction on how he wanted his works to be displayed. Hirst found some very random objects lying around, so he decided to do what some artists do and play around with the arrangement of the found objects to create a very impromptu installation that he said represents an artist's studio. Okay, I'm not convinced, but for the sake of the story, we will go ahead and call it a piece of art. Naturally, the gallery and wannabe art critics claim that the impromptu nature of the art increased the value of this new Damien Hirst artwork by literally thousands of dollars. But let's be honest, if any ordinary person were to create that exact same so-called installation, it would be absolutely worthless. It is so depressing and crummy to think about, so we won't, but it turns out that the janitor was not on the same page as the people hailing this literal pile of trash as art. The janitor said, "I didn't think for a second that it was a work of art, and it didn't look much like art to me, so I cleared it all into bin bags and dumped it." And as is the way of the art world, this gallery said, "No, no, no, this is art, and this is an atrocity that must be rectified." So the gallery sent their staff out back to do some dumpster diving to find the trash bags with the garbage in it so that they could salvage the various objects and reconstruct the installation based on photos that had been taken earlier. Wait a minute, didn't I just tell this story a couple minutes ago? It is pretty much exactly what happened at the Italian gallery 14 years later. The main difference here is that at least Hirst had a good sense of humor about it, calling the mistake fantastic and very funny. As for the janitor, I'm pretty sure he didn't lose his job over that one, at least I'm hoping he didn't. And this one's really interesting too. There's something called the Suckist art movement. I have never heard of this until I started researching, but apparently this art movement favors traditional skills of drawing and painting. I had no clue that that was a thing, and I just might be a closet member of that movement without even knowing it. But yeah, the co-founder of the Suckist art movement, Charles Thompson, actually went on record and praised the janitor's action, saying, "The cleaner obviously ought to be promoted to an art critic of a national newspaper. He clearly has a fine critical eye and can spot rubbish." So, as is the way of basically every Artrageous episode, I have once again done way too much research, and I have a list of other times similar things have happened to art pieces, all of them just slightly different. Looking at the time markers on this recording, I don't know that I have time to get into all of these stories today because I still have a couple other things I want to talk about, but I will still give you a very quick summary of a few more notable ones in case you want to look into any of them yourself. These are in no real order, but who knows, it might lead you down a fun rabbit hole like it did for me. I found a story from June 2015 where there was a $10,000 Jim Osmond sculpture in a public art show in Madison, Connecticut. Looking at pictures of this sculpture while I was researching, to me, this one didn't look quite so much like trash as the first two we talked about, but I could see how someone could think that it was junk, considering it was more of a built-out structure made of plywood and covered in green astroturf. But apparently, a grounds worker thought that the structure had been left behind by an annoying group of local skateboarders, so he used a hammer to dismantle it and throw it away. According to reports, Jim Osmond had spent a month creating the piece, and it had previously been exhibited in multiple other places. So rather than junk, it was actually art. There was also a time in November of 2011 when a Martin Kippenberger sculpture that was worth over what today is like $875,000, it was given an unsolicited wipe down by an overzealous cleaner who thought it looked like it needed a good scrubbing. Considering the work was basically a rickety wooden tower made from slats, I mean, picture a really weird and spindly Jenga apparatus and you would kind of be on the right track with this one. But there was also a trough underneath it that the artist had painted to represent dried rainwater. And according to the cleaner, it looked like it needed, well, cleaning. According to a spokeswoman for the gallery, the cleaner removed the patina from the four walls of the trough and it would be impossible to return it to its original state. Clearly, that worker did not receive the memo from the boss to stay at least 20 centimeters away from the artworks at all times. And last but not least, in April 2014, there was an ink painting that sold at auction in Hong Kong for over $3 million. But after the auction, the painting went missing. And I will say that of all the pieces we've talked about, this one looks closest to an actual art piece rather than trash. While they weren't fully ruling out the possibility of theft, The theory for the whereabouts of this painting is that the cleaning staff at the hotel where the auction was held are suspected to have accidentally thrown out the painting. This then resulted in Hong Kong police searching for the lost property in a garbage dump north of the city. How would you feel if you were a police officer and you show up to work for the day just to learn that you are the poor, sad sap that has to go wading through a literal mountain of trash to find a painting? I would be absolutely mortified, and I would be requesting a new replacement uniform by the end of the day and probably going home and taking a full-on acid bath, because there is no way that that smell would ever come out. So yeah, that's a very quick rundown of some of the other times that art's been thrown away. I'm sure there are a million garbage puns to be made, but before I keep dumping more information on you, I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, there is a whole other side of this fun story. Welcome back from that very quick break, and I will admit that as soon as I said, hey, I'll be right back, I realized that I got my notes all jumbled up, and I forgot to mention one of the more interesting art throwaway cases that involves, of course, a famous artist and also a movie star. So if you've ever heard of an artist named Will Kurtz, and if you haven't, that's fine too, it's not completely necessary for understanding this story. But Will Kurtz is a contemporary artist born in 1957, and he's best known for his life-size papier-mâché sculptures of dogs and people. He is also the artist of a work valued at $8,000 called Keep America Great Again, which is quite literally a sculpture of a trash can with a raccoon next to it. In 2016, it was featured in an exhibition at Art Southampton in New York City. Well, that's where it was supposed to be featured, but right before the show opened, one of the gallery's cleaners didn't realize that the sculpture's trash can element, filled with brightly colored trash, was actually a part of the art. So despite this very obvious papier-mâché raccoon next to it, the gallery janitors threw away the trash. The poor raccoon was left standing there without his midnight snack. Surprisingly, one of the curators of the show was none other than Hollywood star and art enthusiast Brooke Shields. Yes, Brooke Shields had teamed up with the New York Academy of Arts' David Kratz to curate the pieces for the animal-focused Call to the Wild exhibition. Considering that Will Kurtz's sculpture had a raccoon, I'd say that it fit the theme, but I guess, according to the cleaning crew, the trash can did not, and the trash was mistakenly taken out. When Brooke Shields and David Kratz showed up for the VIP preview the next day, they realized what had happened. Luckily, this was one of the stories that did not result in people having to dig through an entire landfill to find those bits that were mistakenly thrown away. Apparently, surprise, surprise, this kind of thing had happened before. So the janitors were trained to use clear plastic trash bags that were temporarily set aside before being thrown away permanently. Because of that, the not-so-garbage pieces were able to be added back to the sculpture, and the show went on. I think if I had to wrap up this story, Will Kurtz himself puts it perfectly when the artist tweeted, "Good thing Animal Control didn't pick up the raccoon." And now we've come to the portion of the program when I ask all of you guys the question, if a piece of art is convincing enough that it looks like actual trash to the point that it gets thrown away, is it good art or is it bad art? Personally, I think modern and contemporary art is kind of confusing and weird, and it's just not quite my cup of tea. Heck, let's even throw abstract art into that pile as well. Now, while I would never want to yuck someone else's yum, if you've ever visited a modern art museum and felt confused about whether or not something was art, then you are definitely not alone. I saw a story a few years back about how in 2016, a couple of teenagers were visiting San Francisco's Museum of Modern Art, and being bored with the modern art exhibit, they decided to play a prank on the gallery goers by placing a pair of eyeglasses on the floor, and then they just stood back and kind of watched what happened. People actually came up to this pair of eyeglasses and started seriously looking at them like they were some kind of conceptual minimalist art.
The teens even posted a photo on Twitter of one guy who literally got down on the floor with his camera to take pictures of the eyeglasses that were presumed to be a work of art as part of this exhibition. I guess you could say that the whole thing was quite a spectacle once people started gathering around the random object to ponder its maybe metaphysical meaning. I don't know. But I think that's the thing about contemporary art that kind of rubs people the wrong way, is that it often has a very bizarre and even unconventional nature to it. At the same time, though, I would say that one of the purposes of modern art is to be radical and subversive and provocative, even if it does lead to some kind of awkward and funny situations. I was trying to find some other opinions on modern and contemporary art to sprinkle into this episode because I don't want it to be just my opinions. And in doing that, I was able to find these comments on an Ars Technica forum thread that kind of talked about some of these things. In that thread, user Wagnard says, "There seems to be this obnoxious arrogance in a lot of the modern artists that I've seen. One artist I know of took a bottle of urine and marked it as art. The urine symbolizes the vulgarity of gold. He picked up a very fat check from the NEA. I think that art to some degree should reflect the taste of society, but there seems to be a large elitist faction in the art community that sneers at those values and tastes." In response to all of that from Wagnard, a user named Dr. Gitlin replied, "But that is surely the job of the artist, to comment on society. Look at the statement that Duchamp made with the urinal. He took a mass-produced object, one that was made with people pissing into it in mind, signed it, and said, that's art." This thread does go on for a while, and there are some really interesting takes on the whole contemporary art thing, so I'll try to remember to throw that link in the show notes for you, because it was worth a read, and it really got my mind going. Unfortunately, though, since podcasting is kind of a one-way platform from me to anyone listening, it's really difficult to get a good back and forth going, but I'm trying to come up with ways to make that possible for people who do want to join in on the conversation. I haven't really thought of anything yet, but work in progress. And really, even if we can't have a direct back and forth through this platform, I would definitely still encourage you to have that conversation with people. You can always say, "Hey, I found this really cool podcast called Artrageous, and it got me thinking about why people either love or hate modern art. What's your take on it?" You know, just casually name drop Artrageous in there. But yeah, I think that's a great way to keep the conversation going about art. Speaking of keeping on keeping on, I still have two more mini stories for you. We've talked a lot about janitors being the ones who accidentally throw art away, but what about the janitors that create art? Well, believe it or not, those people actually exist, regardless of what side of the love or hate modern art fence that you find yourself on. I do have a story for each side. If you happen to be one of the people that find modern art to be ridiculous and you hate it and you don't find it to be worth all the hype it gets, or even if you've looked at a piece of modern art or abstract art and thought, well, heck, I could do that, then this story is for you. While cleaning up after the 1959 Tulare County Art League exhibit in Visalia, California, I hope I'm saying that right, but a group of janitors and maintenance people found themselves looking at some of the entries for the county exhibit's modern art category. Looking at this work, they had this moment where they were all commenting to each other how they thought that they could make modern art that was just as good as what they were seeing in front of them. So when next year's 1960 exhibit rolled around, they decided to test their theory and set out to prove it. They found a really weird piece of scrap metal from a door latch manufacturer, and it was in this really weird, funky shape and had all these holes cut out of it. But they took it and they stood it up on end and they painted it black. One of the members of the group remarked that the metal kind of vaguely resembled a cat, so they titled the piece Petrified Tomcat, which was a deliberate misspelling of the word petrified. And as a finishing touch, they put a $350 price tag on their creation. Somehow, they managed to sneak this work into the exhibition's display area, and they just left it among all the other pieces that had been entered legitimately. No one even so much as raised an eyebrow, and it was actually even awarded a ribbon. Even though no one offered to buy it, which makes sense since $350 in 1960 is equal to about $3,600 today, but when the janitors fessed up about their deception, the story made all kinds of headlines across the United States. So if you ever need a sign to start creating art, there's your motivation that anyone can do it. And if you do hate modern art and think it's a joke, then maybe that story might have reinforced your opinion, since according to the events in this story, it doesn't take skill to make modern art. Now, if you are a fan of modern art and abstract art and think that it is something to be celebrated and not made fun of, then this last mini story is for your side of the fence. Picture this. An older man stands in the corner of a gallery. He's standing there listening to the guests praise the artist for the artist's great use of color and the depths of the works. This man is super shy and he's not used to compliments, nor is he even used to galleries, because for the last 15 years, he has been cleaning the gallery's courtyard. Throughout the years, Leonid Berkovsky has worked as a master at a factory, a furniture maker in a theater, and a handyman on television. Really just a jack of all trades. After divorcing his wife, Berkovsky realized that he wanted to create things. So he opened up a bakery in Cherkasy, but unfortunately the business failed and he returned to Kiev and became a janitor. He chose the job because of the convenient schedule, which he has been living by for 15 years. By day he cleans, but by night he creates art. Berkovsky began painting when he was 52. He was inspired by the works of Claude Monet and Ivan Marchuk, and instead of canvas, he used the back of wall calendars, posters, and advertisements. His ex-wife's father was a painter, so she gave him some oil paints, and homeless people that Berkovsky befriended gave him watercolors. He was almost literally using other people's trash to make art. He had his first exhibition in 2013 with the support of a sponsor who paid the rent for one of the galleries in Kiev, and even though it wasn't very successful, Berkovsky later hung 8 works on the janitor's booth of the gallery. He called the exhibition Vernissage at the Dump. It was only supposed to last for one day, but a passerby saw all these paintings that were hanging, and he posted a photo on the internet. The photo then went viral to the point where the works caught the attention of a museum whose curator proposed to Berkovsky to organize an exhibition, except this time it would be in a proper venue. The exhibition included about 100 works and was put together in just 1 week. So again, if you ever needed a sign to start creating art, there's another one for you. I know the anyone can do it mindset is a double-edged sword, especially for modern art, but I do love finishing this episode on a happier note by saying that yes, even though janitors sometimes make mistakes and throw away expensive modern art pieces, they can also create art as well. And there you have it, more than you probably ever thought you wanted to know about janitors and even how the people cleaning up the messes can actually create bigger messes, even if it's more figuratively speaking. You know what they say, always keep them guessing and never let them know your next move. Although I'm pretty sure that advice was more for ninja training, superheroes, and dating, but I would say that it does probably apply to this case as well. Before I sign off today, just a quick reminder to spread the word about Artrageous to your friends. I know summer is a kind of slow time for podcasts since people are out traveling and living life, but if you can think of anyone who might want to listen to some fun stories when on a plane, train, automobile, whatever, Artrageous will be here with a new episode every Thursday. I'll be back next week with another story for you guys, but until then, stay Artrageous. Series music created by Arenson. Music and transition sounds licensed from Motion Array. Artrageous is a proud partner of Stoveleg Media.
Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.